Amen, amen, amen. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. If you have your Bibles, if not, you'll see it on the big screen. But I want to speak to you on the subject of what manner of love. After all, this is February. It's noted normally amongst people. It is the month of love. Valentine's Day, I believe, is coming up in the next week or so. And let this be a good sermon of encouragement, and it's also a good sermon of warning to all the men that you must prepare for a time like this, because there are going to be ladies in your life, and your wife certainly, and the girls that you have are going to be waiting for to see how much daddy loves them. And so order your flowers now and your candies and sweet nothings and prepare a good place to take them out to dinner. Amen. But as we go to 1 John chapter 3, verse 6, I want to read this passage from where I take this particular thought from, if you will. Behold what manner of love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God. And that is what we are. You notice that determined statement, a convicting, for sure, make no mistake, I'm not going to sit here and argue with you statement, which we are. Doesn't matter who disagrees with you. Doesn't matter who wants to change your mind about it or who wants to change the world's mind about you. The fact is that you are a loved child of God. That is a matter of fact, not a matter of conversation, not a matter of debate. It is a fact that you are a loved child of God. And that is what we are. And the reason the world does not know us or understand this love is because they don't know God. They don't know how God loves. They don't know how He embraces His children and relentlessly holds them close to His bosom and does everything He can to continue showing what great love He has for us. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. That shows us that there's still certain discrepancies in our life that could possibly take us to a place of not being capable or qualified, if you will, to receive such love. We still don't know exactly what all of this is making us. We still don't see. Sometimes we see mistakes in the mirror. Anybody have ever had that kind of experience when you look in the mirror and you go like, man, I don't really like me that much. Or someone says, hey, listen, you've got to change things about you because it demeans your character, your person. He says, so we don't know what now we are, children of God, and what we will be has not yet been known. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him. Again, that's another matter of fact. You can tell and testify to anybody, at the end of the day, I'm going to be just like the Lord. I'm going to be just like my Father, regardless of what you see in me now. I'm not there yet. Even Paul said that. A man who wrote 3/4 of the New Testament. He said, I've not arrived where I need to be, but one thing I do is I press on. And so here in this passage, he's reminding us once again, we don't know really what we are, but I do know that at the end of the things, we will be a people without lack. We're going to be just like Him. He goes, we shall see Him as He is. For everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. And everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that He appears so that He might take away our sins, and that in Him there is no sin. And no one who lives in Him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen or know Him. Pray with me. Father, we thank You for today. We thank You for this time of worship. We thank You for Your presence and the liberty of Your Spirit that dwells and moves amongst us. Now have Your way with us, Lord, as You speak to us in our heart. Let every word that comes from my own particular mouth, Father, let it fall on dry land. But let every word inspired by Your Spirit come and find good soil in the hearts of Your people. And let it be nourished and be fruitful to produce in us a children who truly understand how loved we are. In the name of Jesus we pray, and everyone says, amen. Here we have John speaking to us on what easily is the most wonderful truth in God's Word. couple of things in this whole scripture that we have been given are more important, if not any at all, this particular message is the love of God toward us. We know that salvation, obviously, is probably the most and loudest and most important message we hear, but yet that salvation did not come before He loved us. So we see as love being the very meat of all we have been given in His God, in His Word to us. Now, to those of us who know John and his testimony and have walked with him over the years through Scripture, he indeed was a man that experienced wondrous things in his walk and relationship with God. It's unlikely, and you'll agree with me, that any other mere man on earth ever saw or experienced the wonders alongside with God as he did. He had the chance to walk with the Christ incarnate, that is, in the flesh. He met him. He got to hear his audible voice speak and pray and give counsel to the many. He got to see Jesus in action, performing miracles, signs, and wonders in the lives of so many. He was with Jesus when he would go to the Mount of Transfiguration. There he would come back with the glow of the Holy Spirit over him and admire him for his deity. John was present in Gethsemane when the Lord would go pray, and he saw him suffer at that moment when even his sweat became as drops of blood. He was there when Christ was crucified, nailed to the cross on a hill called the Skull. He too would be honored as he witnessed the Son of God rising in his resurrection and to the glory of the Father, and he too was there to experience in the outskirts of Bethany the ascension of Christ to go to the right hand of the Father. Wow. That's quite the resume, yes? That's quite the experience, yes? But yet out of this man who saw all these things and experienced these things in Christ, still, he says, what manner of love? He seems to put all those other things he saw Christ in the flesh do in his relationship, to sit down and put his own head on the bosom of his Savior, to sit at the campfires and share the fish with him and meals and talk and receive counsel, comfort and love and all these things from him. He saw him chastise the church. He saw so many things, and yet at the end of the day, he seems to push that as a canvas back and he says, but wow, you know what's really awesome? Is that he loves us. That is beyond compare. That I can't put a measuring stick to that. I can't put that in a can. I can't box that. I can't weigh it. It's too much. Yeah, but he raised the dead. I know. That's awesome, isn't it? Yeah, but he loves us. Yeah, but you see that possessing kid that was, he delivered him. That was, I know it was awesome how he set the captives free, how he made the lame walk, how he allowed the blind to see, the deaf to hear. How he messed up funeral parties when they were already wailing for the dead. He rose. He ruined a good funeral service. Awesome, isn't it? Yes, but listen, what awesome truth it is to know that he loves us. He saw it all. He experienced it firsthand. Great wonders he could talk about. Yet in this passage, he seemingly gasps for air and contemplates, this is great. Behold, what manner of love the Father has for us. Wow. That's awesome. It's as if John was saying, listen to me. This is something that will truly leave you dumbfounded and bewildered in amazement. Look at God's depth of love for you. Can I tell you, church, once again and remind you that though we have seen in Scripture God perform all His miracles in the days of John, and all the miracles that we have seen God perform even in our lives today, have anybody ever experienced the hand of God's touch in your life that has set you free from whatever you thought would keep you captive forever? Can you give Him a praise? Yes. All the miracles He saw, all the miracles He experiences, and all the miracles that you and I have experienced today. Yes, they are too many to count. I could stand here and bore you for the next months or years and tell you every single thing that I can remember of the great things that God has done for me. But in all of that, there is still one thing that stands out the most, that is most miraculous and glorious, and that is God loves us. Turn around and tell your neighbor, just in case they're not hearing what I'm saying, God loves you. God loves you. He does. Sinful and wretched, so far away from God, unworthy, yet God loves you and me. I'm in awe at the fact that God loves us. This wonderful love that He has for us is great. What makes it more awesome and should make it more awesome for us is to know that He loves us so. And if we're truthful with each other, we know we do not deserve that love. I don't know, and I'm afraid to ask that we have a little pride in this church. I doubt that we do. We're all humble, loving Christians. But I don't know anybody could raise their hand and say, well, I deserve God's love. Who are you so we can pray for you? Who can say here, I deserve God's love? I'm surprised. It's great. I don't know, but he rightfully so loves me because he should. I don't think so. The Bible says that though we are good people, every work of our hands is as it's sinful, dirty rags. No one seeks for righteousness, not one. But what draws us out from that darkness into his marvelous light is that net of love he has for us. And we should be thankful today and every morning and every day and every breath you take to know that we don't deserve this love, that we are unloving and unlovable by nature, but yet, in spite of it all, God loves us. It's Valentine's month. And again, I say to you, remind you to prepare for that. But when I speak about God's love today, it reminds me and it puts to me in perspective this whole month of love. And I say to myself as I was writing this down for the sake of my memory and keeping myself aligned with the frame of thought, God made us his Valentine since the beginning. Since the beginning, we are God's Valentine by offering us and displaying for us, his love. Let me give you only some of the reasons why believers should always be in wonder and amazement of his love. And at the same time, I pray it motivates us to know that him loving us should only inspire us to love him back. When somebody loves you so much, it should motivate you and spur you to a place where you say, God, this guy, I gotta love him back because nobody loves me the way he does. There are some unmatchable things that God loves displayed for us and shows us in regards to the character of that love or the element of that love. Number one, this morning I would like to say to you and remind you that God's love for us is immutable. That is, it's unchanging. This is a good thing to know. And it's a good thing to celebrate. This means that his love for us is unchangeable, it's final, it's indisputable, undebatable, unchangeable. You see, in this world, ladies and gentlemen, for you to better understand this truth and principle, you must understand what kind of love we experience here in this world. It's nothing like God's love. Nothing. We have developed as a humanistic society, selfish in our own thoughts, we developed our own generic kind of love. A false sense of love amongst humans that changes from morning to morning. Can anybody dispute that? No. Talk to the guy who said, I do at the altar, and the next year he's gone. He hates her. Talk to the lady who stood up at this altar and said, I do and I will forever. And the next 6-7 months, she's back living with her parents. There is no love. Talk to the love that friends display amongst each other. Today they are friends and best comrades, and tomorrow they're the worst of enemies. A false sense of love that we have developed amongst ourselves. It has no power to hold its integrity when it faces offense, trouble, or challenges. It has no real value, that kind of love that we depend on in this world by the millions. It can be bought, it can be sold for menial prices. It's always available for the highest bidder. Human love is shifting like the sand, and it's seen in our homes, our friendships, and our relationship, but not so with God's love. This I have to impress hard this morning, because I want this to be the best Valentine's Day of your life. And remind you that every day should be Valentine's Day for all of us. See, God's love is unchangeable. It cannot be manipulated. It's steadfast, it's solid, it's consistent, it's inflexible. Cannot be bought, cannot be sold. It comes to us in the nature of God Himself. Why? The Bible says what? God is? God is what? So it comes to us in the form of God. And we know that God is not shifting, God is not changing. In fact, one of the most rehearsed scriptures, and we don't even know the passage, but we know it verbatim, that God is the same yesterday, today, and? That God is the same yesterday and? Forever. That means if God is love, that means His love is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the joy of it all is that God has given us this love for all of us to enjoy. So just think for a moment this morning, ladies and gentlemen, of all the things that you've done to shame yourself, others, and even break the heart of God. You've lost friends because you've done things you shouldn't have done, and it's out of the spectrum or the realm of love. You've even lost family because you depended on that counterfeit love. I want you to think for a second of how the love you once thought was real is now only a memory faded back in the woodwork of all the broken dreams you've ever had, filled with pain and bitterness. It's a terrible experience. You have experienced terrible things because the kind of finances you used to embrace those things you bought with a counterfeit love. And so you lost family, you lost a husband, you lost a wife, you lost children who ran away from you because of the counterfeit love that was offered. You bought it with counterfeit monies. Counterfeit finances, and that is love. But when you look to God's love, even after your mistakes, your mess ups, and your shortcomings, the Bible is clear to tell us His love remains the same. And I'm thankful. I keep telling you from this pulpit, and I always will tell you, as a chief of sinners, I'm so glad He loves me. I'm so glad He loves me in spite, because I've done nothing to merit the love He has for me. What manner of love is this love that God has lavished upon us? It's unchangeable. So know that tomorrow when things go wrong, know tomorrow that maybe you've made a mistake. Know that tomorrow maybe you thought something you shouldn't have, or this ended up performing ill in character or whatever. Just know that you can always look to God and know that He loves you to still bring you close to His bosom in love. I mean, you know that the testimony of the disciples, they weren't always lovable to Him, and sometimes they frustrated Him. How long must I be with you, cabezones? Not all of you understood that. That was in tongues. Cabezudos. If I could translate it, the Lord called us stiff-necked, hard-headed, How long must I be with you? So Jesus, we can see a visible frustration because these guys were with him and he displayed openly what holiness was. And here they were arguing in pride. Who's going to be the greatest when you die? But he never threw them out. He always loved them in. It's unchangeable. So don't ever run from God. And don't ever think that you'll do something so evil. Now, this is not a license to sin, but this is just a fact that you should know. That when we make mistakes, and many of us will before Jesus comes. Yes? Remember, it's until that day that we shall see who he is and we shall be who we are. Know that we can run to him because his love is unchanging. Praise the Lord. Secondly, God's love is unconditional. What this means is that there is no qualifying for it. This is that nothing you can do, there's nothing you can do to merit or to purchase this love that he has for us. He freely gave it to all of us. Deuteronomy chapter 7 is very descriptive of this fact. Deuteronomy 7 and 7 reads as follows. The Lord did not set his affection on you and choose you because you were more numerous than other peoples. That is, Jesus was never, the Lord was never cornered into a position where he had to say, okay, I love you, okay. There's a lot of you, I better change my mind before I get into trouble with you guys. No. He didn't choose it to place his affection on you because you were more. For you were the fewest of all people. But it was because the Lord loved you because he kept the oath he swore to your forefathers, and he brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the land of slavery, from the power of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. So basically what he's telling them there is this. There's nothing you could offer me to make you love you, to make me love you. I'm God already, and I'm God by myself, and I stand alone, and beside me there is no other. I am the highest of all. I am the beginning and the end. There is nothing beyond the parameter of who I am. And there's nothing you can offer me in wealth or riches or whatever, for all the cattle of a thousand hills are mine. Everything that has been created by me, and everything is for me, sustained by me, and I can use it any time. So why would I need to love you? Why would I need to even care for you? No, the reason I decided to care for you is because I decided to love you. And that's wonderful to know. That's wonderful to know. To know that you're sitting there in that chair feeling down, condemned by the world or even by yourself, and God sits with you and says, how you doing? You go, yes, yeah. Are you here to tell me off? No, I came here to love you. Why would you love me? Because I do, and I choose to. That old song we used to sing years ago, this joy that I feel inside, the world did not give it to me. Yes? Some of us are too young to remember that, but some of the next generation or the past generation remembers this. Oh, this love I have inside, the world didn't give it to me. Remember? And I love the last part of it. It says, so since it didn't give it to me, it can't take it away. God's love is mine because he chose to give it to me. It's the same with his love. The world didn't give it to us, and since he didn't give it to us, unbelievers, atheists, humanists, governments, armies, devils can never take that away. Romans chapter 8, Paul writes, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Can you say amen? Nothing. Nobody can put out a contract on that love and take it away from you. Nothing. Nothing on earth. Nothing in heaven. Nothing in hell. No people, no flesh and blood, and no spirit, no principality, no devil could ever separate us from the love of God. He gave it to us. And He loves us the way we are. He loves us without us even being deserving. The Bible says in the book of Romans that God displayed His love for us, that while even yet we were sinners, He died for us. He chose to give His life for you and me to show us that love. Oh, what manner of love. Say it with me. Oh, what manner of love. Thirdly, it's a blessing kind of love. The love of God that God has for us is the source that causes every blessing and grace to be performed and loosened in your life. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, the writer writes, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of His glory and His grace by which He has made us accepted in the Beloved." You are beloved. And that love that God has for you comes with it, not alone, but it comes with it with a whole truck of gifts for Valentine's. It comes with it with a full pantry and package of great blessings for His children. If you stop for a moment and think of your life, ladies and gentlemen, from job to health to family, friends, and finances, all these things that you have attained because God loves you. And He has granted these things upon your life. For the Bible says in James chapter 1, verse 17, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning." That is, God always wants to bless you because He always loves you. Everything you have, everything you possess, every breath you take, every blink you blink, every friend you have, your family, I don't care if it's your pets, or the most special things you own in this world that are valuable to you. All these things have come packaged in that package of unchangeable love God has for you. When I think about these things, and I think about that love and how God has blessed my life, I look at what little things I may have or big things I may have, and I say, wow, I would have never had what I have had God not loved me. When was the last time you drove into your house, maybe after service, and parked in your parkway? You saw your home, and you saw your children running to you. You saw your pet come and lick your hand, and you see your yard growing, and you see things to do, and you see your car and whatever sports utility you may have that you may enjoy. And you say, man, you know what, hon? Wow. God loves us, man. I tell my wife that all the time. We're sitting there having coffee in the living room or in our bedroom watching a show or something, and we're talking, and we start remembering of where we came from, if you will, several years ago in our 42 years of marriage. From where we were to where we are, and I say, honey, we cannot deny. It's indisputable. You cannot argue with this. I don't care who anybody says. God has certainly loved us. He's provided us with a meal at our table every time. He's provided us with everything we possess, and He has allowed us to manage. It's a blessing kind of love. Sometimes we can walk out of that blessing on ourselves, not because God has stopped loving you or desire to bless you, but sometimes you shun away from that love. You don't want God. You feel smothered. Leave me alone. It's kind of like when you're sitting there, you're watching something or you're reading something, and your wife sits on the arm of that chair and wants to give you a... You know? And we do that to God sometimes. Lord, I'm reading. and doing something else. It's because you've not truly put thought at what value His love is. If God would be allowed to love you every day of your life, my friends, some of us would not be where we're at if there's any kind of lack in your life. The Bible says that their eyes have not seen, nor ears have not heard, nor has it set on the bosom of men the things God has prepared for those who love Him. Yes. Once a person realizes that our competence comes from God and not ourselves, what that results and what that matures into is us loving God back. That's when vanity in our lives and arrogance flees. Pride and jealousy and envy and arrogance and indifference flees from our lives, because we know that we are people who are being blessed by God and not blessed by ourselves. We realize that it is the Lord in His love for us that provides for us, and that it is to be celebrated every time not only we are blessed, but that our brothers and sisters are blessed. But the kind of love and friendship we have that offers is that you're doing okay while you're driving the better car. But once you move from a 2018 and the brother in Christ gets a 2020, then you sneer at him. And you go out quickly to indebt yourself with something you can't afford, but just to get a 2001. Or 21, rather. 2001 would be a step back, wouldn't it? That's more kind of like the truck I drive. But you understand what I'm saying? It makes you celebrate. So many of you have come to me and said, "Pastor, we bought our house." Oh, man. Bless God. What love God has for you. And you celebrate God's choosing. You say, basically, you're saying, "God, thank you for choosing my brother and loving him the way you do this family. Thank you, God. Your love is visible in their lives. Pastor, I got that promotion. Awesome. Pastor, I got that raise. Awesome. Pastor, we're having our baby. Awesome. Pastor, we did that. Awesome. Pastor, we're able to read." Yes. Thank you, God, for revealing your love and the capabilities of your love over your people. To celebrate with those who celebrate. And when you realize that even what you have, you receive by the grace of God and His love for you, all that vanity, greed, and indifference goes away. That's when God's people become humble in the character of Christ. 1 Corinthians 4 and 6. "Now these things, brethren, I have figuratively transferred to myself and Apollos for your sakes, that you may learn in us not to think beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up on behalf of one against the other. For who makes you different from another? And what do you have that you have not received? Now if you did indeed receive it, then why do you boast as if you did not receive it? Well, I've earned this by the sweat of my own brow." No, my friend. You've earned it because of God's grace and love for you. You were gifted that. Once we become thankful, God will begin to trust you with small things. But then, because your heart remains good and understanding and in line, God begins to bless you with big things. This is why we pray every Sunday morning over our tithing. And we say, "Lord, we thank you for the privilege of us giving unto you. We humbly accept the fact that even that which we gave you today, we've only taken from your hand." Do you mean that when you pray that? How many know that whether you gave a dollar or $1,000 today, that money you got, you've only took from the wallet of God? And He allows. I've given you this example over the years many times, and it's not a safe practice, but God is richer than I am. But every time my birthday comes, they ask me what I want, I say nothing. Nothing at all. And I think they figure that I'm saying, "Well, because I have pretty much everything I want." I said, "No, because they're going to take my wallet and they're going to use my credit card." So I want nothing for my birthday. I want nothing for our anniversary. I want nothing. Daddy, we want to get you something big and expensive. No. Dad, we've been looking at some things that they're kind of pricey, but we can do it. No. I can do it. No, I cannot do that. I'm fine. Thank you very much. No. You see, and what if God said that? But he doesn't. He blesses you and allows you to be generous to him with his own money. Isn't that a good father? Isn't that a good father? Mia will come to me and say, Dad, honey, we're going to go to Walmart. Uh-huh. Yeah, and I just kind of wanted to buy some stuff. So this and the other. And I go, okay, good. Have fun. And she goes. And Nana will say, well, honey, I don't think we can afford that. Go get honey's wallet. And that's the way we are when we give our offerings. This is why we should never feel proud. Oh, they're taking my money. It's not your money. Come on. I'm not going to give an offering. It's not your offering. If God wants to, he holds his hand on the spigot where the glory comes out. If he closes it, you're out. So anytime you're able to give generously because God has allowed you to put your hand in his pocket and say, give a lot. And he goes like, yeah, give a lot. That was my wallet. But he accepts that as a sacrifice. I'm not going to tithe. It's my money. I need it. It's not your money. It's his money. Everything we possess actually belongs to him. He just gives you a little bit of the glory to say, yeah, this is my house. I built it. I'm paying for it. This and the other. Yeah, but if God wanted to tread off, he'd tread off. And you'd be living somewhere else where you would not have the greatest desire to be in. Can you agree with me this morning? Come on, somebody say amen. And all I'm saying is that God's love is great. It's rewarding. It's a blessing, God. And finally, this morning, God's love is transforming. Has God's love changed you? Honestly? Has it really changed you? Or do you consider it just another little benefit, fringe benefit from a religious so-called walk and being a member at Rock of Ages or what have you? But God's love has power to change people. We have learned that God's infinite love is boundless, a boundless fountain of mercy, grace, and blessing. And because of that love, God chose us as well to be adopted as his children. The Father has devised a plan since the beginning of time, before we even were, that in that love we would find a transformation. God in love would choose his son. His son in love would accept the call to leave his most wonderful, incomparable throne in glory where he didn't have to and come and mingle with sinful men like you and me and give his life. All soaked and saturated because of his love. He would not stop. And the plan behind that is he knew if he could display that love for his people, that love would have enough power in him and through us to cause transformation, to change us. To change us. 1 John 4:7, beloved, let us love one another for God, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows him. He who does not know love does not know God, for God is love. And this is the love of God that was manifest toward us. It came with a purpose. Of all the things that I've given you, considering the very element of his God, of his love for us, being immutable, unchangeable, being a rewarding kind of God, being a no requirement kind of love that he offerly gives us, if you will. He said he does not love God, does not know God because God is love. And this love, God was manifest toward us that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. There's a purpose for this love. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. The appointment or appointed time of God's love and grace came to us, called us by that very spirit of great love he has for us, and revealed the love he had through the giving of his son. And many of us can give witness of that. When a sinner experiences the love of God in Christ, in his soul, there can be no argument or mistake. His life will truly be transformed. Transformed to such a degree that it becomes a mystery even to us, much more the people around him, because love comes and changes a life, and his experience of that person in this world and even in his relationship with us. It becomes real. It becomes almost impossible to believe, because you see men who were unworthy of that God, as all of us, that love, as all of us were, but actually visible people who, in the eyes and judgment of men, truly don't deserve that kind of love. They're transformed and changed into different people. This is when we see firsthand, when God's love comes to bathe us all, we see when sinners become saints. The world of this, the people of this world simply don't understand that truth. They begin to say, even of us now, that we love God and we feel and we walk around as loved people, what's gotten into you? You're so different. You're not the same person. You've changed. I don't know who you are anymore. And in your spirit, deep inside, you rejoice, and the Spirit of the Lord bubbles up in you, because you know that God's love and grace has not been without effect in your life. I'm glad he loves me. Are you glad he loves you? I'm truly glad he loves me. Are you truly glad he loves you? This love comes to change your destiny. It changed your experience in true worship. The things you used to be passionate about and used to love yourself no longer become so important as much as focusing on that love that God has for you. Your mind is not filled with things of this world. Your mind is filled with the one that loves you. Your hopes, dreams, and aspirations are no longer the same, because now you're in love. Worship and prayer and God's word in heaven begin to fill every part of your being because of that love. And all because you've tasted the sweetness and the power of that love. I think it was Sister Angie who came up here and said, our dreams become different. Our thoughts, our desires become different. And all of us understand this. And I'll be a little bit funny with you this morning, but we've really experienced what happens when someone is in love. Kind of when you fall in love with that girl you married now, and she just sweeps you off your feet, and vice versa. Nothing is important anymore. Now, we don't make the wisest decisions when we follow that kind of love, because we change certain good things that we had. As far as education, you say, I don't need an education. I'm going to live with her under a mesquite tree. And so now you're angry today because you still live now under a mesquite tree. But that love took you there. And the girl now doesn't care about anything else. She just wants to be with her boy. And the parents are talking to them about doing the right thing, and all they hear is blah, 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 blah. I love her, I love her, I love her, blah, 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 blah. And so now they're living in the back seat of a 55 Chevy. So we don't always make the smartest choices when we're in love, but you understand the point. It changes you. You used to have ears, you have nothing anymore. It's like they shaved them off. Oh, brother, pray for him, because every time he met that girl, he just looks at her with glassy eyes. Well, she used to pay attention to her mom and do what she was supposed to do, but now she's always on the phone. She doesn't do anything. But it changes you. And in a positive way, I guess, for boyfriend and girlfriends, it also changes the boy. He begins to brush his teeth daily now and change his underwear and take a bath. Because he's got a girl now. So love changes you, yes? It's not always bad. You know? The girl begins to iron her skirts and everything else and comb her hair instead of having a big old knot. You know, she changes. But love has an effect. It's transforming, isn't it? Come on, you know you're different. Some of us today need to stay married and loved because that love that she's offering you in Christ is keeping you in line. It's transforming you. As big as I am, I'm twice the human my wife is. But she carries a thick love. And it changes me. But the love of God, bigger as she or any one of our girls or boys and husbands and wives here today, is that bigger love that should always cause transformation in our lives. It's when you taste that love that you say, Lord, it's unbelievable that you love me. Especially when you know where I've been and what I've done, that you would say, I love you. That's what draws sinners to God. Because sinners, when they're really bad, and bad they are, at times it's unbelievable for them to believe that such a wonderful, pure, spotless, immaculate, divine God would say, I love you. I'm here to tell you and remind you this Valentine's week and month that God loves you. I want you to walk out of here today saying, you know what? I feel loved. And let that love begin to change the kind of love you share with your children and your husband and wife. To love them for real. Don't deal with this fake, you can buy it anytime, walk away from it kind of love that we have today. That's counterfeit. That's junk. Love them as God loves you. We are commanded of Scripture to do that. Love others as God loves you. God is love. We are His sons because of that love. We are provided for because of His love. We are confident and protected because of His love. We are filled with hope because of His love. And I pray today that you be truly saved and transformed because of that love. Oh, what manner of love is this? Say it with me. Oh, what manner of love is this? And you know what? It's yours. As you bow your head, I never like to leave this pulpit without making this invitation to every listening ear and heart in this place. This word of God that we have been given is one unchangeable Valentine card that God has sent to all of us. It's filled with loving words towards you and me, and He sent it to you and me. But again, I want to remind you as I close and I make this invitation that a Valentine is not only about sending out love as if God sends it to us, but accepting that love and returning the Valentine as well to the one that loves you. And so the question, I believe, of the hour is at this moment, since God has made us His Valentine, is there anyone in this house that would say, Jesus, be my Valentine? I will love you back. I will offer my love to you in every way. I will live for you as you have lived for me. I will honor you as you have honored and blessed me. I will give you my heart as you have given your heart to me. You have made me your Valentine without even knowing that I would even merit such a position in your heart. An unexpected invitation from someone that I thought was too huge and too perfect for my broken self, yet you wrote to me and you said, be my Valentine. And I receive that love today, Lord. And I thank you for loving me. But I know that what will make this relationship so complete is the fact that I am willing to be transformed and changed in my mind and thoughts and say, Lord, you be my Valentine. I've let this love come into my heart, and therefore this love is offered unto you as well. Be Lord of my life. Be my Valentine. As you listen to my voice this morning, I would ask openly to every listening ear and to one of our visitors and anyone here who possibly has been here at Rock of Ages for a while, but you've never been bold enough to ask God to be your Valentine. But you're at that point to understand that God loves you beyond your even understanding. And now you realize that it's that love that you cannot live without, because had you not had that love, where would you be? Be honest. You'd be bankrupt of everything. And I'm not talking about monies. I'm talking about bankrupt of joy and peace and the blessings that God has for you. But you understand the value and the pricelessness of this love. And you say, Pastor, I understand today that, gosh, how I've ignored this love that God has had for me. And I've never written a Valentine's card to Him. I've lived my own life doing my own thing. But He has faithfully every year without a mistake in every day of my life, He sends me those Valentines that tell me He loves me in such a way that the world cannot love me. And so today, Pastor, I want Jesus to be my Valentine. I want Him to be the Lord of my life. I want to be the Savior of my soul. I want to let Him know that I love Him. And so you say yes to Christ today as your Savior, and you haven't ever before, I'd like to ask you to raise your hand in the presence of the Lord. Anyone that would say yes to Christ to be my Lord and Savior, if that's you, raise your hand where you're at. Would you raise your hand where you're at? Anyone who would say yes to Christ. If you're not raising your hand, I trust that you've said yes to Him already. If that's you, I would even ask you to go further and stand to your feet and don't be ashamed of the love you're offering God and acceptance of His love for you. If that's you, stand to your feet. Yes, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, yes. Thank God for salvation. Thank God for allowing us to be His Valentine. Thank you. We want to make God our Valentine. If that's you, quickly do it again. Please stand. Please stand. This is the last call I'm going to make. Opportunity. Please come. Please come. This is God saying, you have been my Valentine for all these years. Please, can I be yours? If that's you, please. Thank you, thank you. I would ask everyone who is standing, would you come to this altar? We want to pray with you. We want to encourage you. I'd like to have a couple of ushers just stand behind them in support of them. You won't be praying over them. You'll just be standing in support of them. Please come. Thank you, Jesus, for salvation. Thank you. Anybody else? I saw a couple of people over here. I'm hoping you're making your way up here because you need Jesus in your life. You want Him to be your Valentine. You've accepted that love He offers you, and it's only right that you make that love complete, if you will, in this relationship and tell Jesus, I love you. If that's you, now I would ask the rest of the congregations to please stand in reverence to God. And we're going to thank God for salvation at this altar today. There are people here today who are saying, I need that love. And I know God wants me to love Him. It's transforming me even as I say today, as I stand here today. Hallelujah. I would ask everyone at this altar, just remind you and thank you and tell you that this decision you're making is going to change your life forever. Never will be a moment, even in your sleep, that you will not be loved by God. Never. That you'll be watched by God, that you'll be embraced by God, that you'll be blessed by God, supported, comforted, encouraged by God, a God that loves you from everlasting to everlasting. And what we're going to do at this altar, every one of us who are standing, we're simply going to say to Jesus, we love you. And so I would like to ask you to pray audibly with me and say, Jesus, I come before you right now, learning about that great love that you've had for me all this time. Please forgive me, Lord, if I've neglected the richness and the value of your love. And so today, I take what's in my heart and every ounce of love that I'm able to put together, and I offer it to you. Be my Valentine. Be the Savior of my life. Be the forgiver of my sin. I change my mind about the way I used to live. And today I choose to live for my Valentine. I choose to live for you. Be Savior of my soul. Be lifter of my head. Be comforter during my dark nights. Be the corrector of my daily walk. Fill me with your Spirit. Fill me with your joy. And be Lord and Savior of my life today. I promise to live for you and only you. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for salvation at this altar. I thank you, God, for everyone making a decision to serve you. This is what we're here for. We've all made that decision. Every single one of us in this congregation has said, Jesus, be Lord of my life. And today we celebrate because your word says that there is celebration in heaven when someone gives their life to you. So, Father, let the party in heaven begin. Celebrate Jesus over what you have done today. And we celebrate with them as they accept you as Savior. And we accept them and receive them as our family in you. May they connect, Lord, to this ministry and to these people around them who can show us that this is not a means to an end, but, Father, the beginning of a new wonderful chapter in their life. And let us show them, Father, to disciple them, to help them to benefit from this great love you have for us. Thank you for being our Valentine. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. God bless you. We celebrate you. This is Sister Angie on this side. I'd like to ask all of you, if you would, just follow her. She just wants to give you information about our ministry. Just for a moment, just follow her for a second.